Today is the 14th Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard about a Samaritan who aided a man in need, a man who had been beaten and left for dead by thieves. Today, we hear of a Samaritan who was in need, a man who was as good as dead because he had the disease of leprosy. Last Sunday, we heard about two men who passed by the man in need without stopping to render him aid. Today, we hear of the 9 companions of the Samaritan who received aid but did not return to give thanks. As we heard last Sunday, the Good Samaritan demonstrates how the Savior has delivered us and how we are now freed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Today, we behold the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of this Samaritan, a man who gave thanks and glorified God, a model of the faith which the Holy Spirit works in the hearts of those who believe in the Christ, who has delivered us from death. If we are to rightly understand the miracle which our Lord performed upon the 10 lepers, it helps if we understand the nature of their affliction. Leprosy, which still exists today, though it is generally quite rare in the industrial and post-industrial nations, is a term which covers a number of afflictions, but which generally describes an affliction which causes a deadening of the flesh and the gradual deterioration of the body. A leper usually cannot hide his ailment for very long. The leprous flesh turns unnaturally white. In time, the leper begins to lose his fingers and toes and to be deformed by his affliction. Historically, this has meant a slow, lingering death and days of decline lived out in isolation, for fear that the contagion would spread to others. Lepers were outcast because the affliction is communicable. Thus we heard in the gospel lection that the 10 men who were lepers stood afar off. It was the priests who were responsible for declaring a person unclean on account of leprosy. God gave very specific instructions in Leviticus chapter 13 concerning the manner in which such a diagnosis was to be made, and when a person was to be isolated for a time, and when they were to be declared unclean. And we read in verse 46, "He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." All 10 of the men knew their plight was beyond human help. But St. Luke tells us that as Jesus entered a certain village, the lepers lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They cried out to the Lord for assistance, calling upon him for aid in their time of need. And each of them received what they desired. Jesus said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. In Leviticus 14, the Lord set forth to Moses the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. God's word specifies, "And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him." A specific ritual is set forth for the one who has been cleansed, which took place over the course of 8 days, with sacrifice being offered on the 8th day. Since sacrifices occurred in Jerusalem, people did not choose their own place of sacrifice. It meant that the 10 who were to be cleansed would have to travel to the temple for the rite. It wasn't as if these men were rushing into the village to be declared clean, and then would come right back. This helps us to better understand our Lord's reaction to their ingratitude. It was only appropriate that they give thanks to the one who had healed them before they set off for Jerusalem. But the nine gave no thought to such gratitude. They were off on their way to fulfill that which was required of them by the law, and they neglected gratitude to the very God whose law they rushed away to fulfill. Now, were the men healed by law or by grace? They had done nothing to merit healing. It was the gift of God. But they gave no further thought to the giver, for it would seem that they had what they wanted. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? The 9, offering up their sacrifices at the temple, did not give glory to God. The Samaritan, who presumably would not have been welcome at the temple, did give glory to God, for when he saw that he was healed, returned in with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. How do you respond to the gifts of God? With the works of the flesh or the works of the Spirit? Perhaps you think I'm being harsh, but do not the blessings which you enjoy every day, food, home, family, health, good government, good weather, a good harvest, all other blessings, do they not come from the triune God? Where do you think that they come from? But gratitude fades quickly, while fear lingers on so easily. When, even in our sinful blindness, we see our need for aid, which God alone can give, how quickly we offer up our prayers. But if the Lord grants us deliverance, are we as quick to offer thanks, and to do so with a fervency equal to our pleas for mercy? Too often the path of the 9 is the way that is chosen. If people truly believed that God gives us all those good things which we enjoy, and is the only source of all blessing, both now and in the life of the world to come, then every church where the word is taught in truth and purity would be bursting at the seams. Pastors would find themselves pursued constantly by those who desired absolution, by those who eagerly seek the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Sacrament. And as the healed leper glorified God with a loud voice, who would silence your joy in faithful praise of your Redeemer? Our lives would be those of constant praise, where the very way in which we fulfilled our vocations day by day would proclaim the glory of God. Even at our best, it is as we hear in Galatians chapter 5. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There is a war going on in your heart and in mine. You and I need that which the Spirit of God can and does work in us, because that which is in us from Adam, and on account of our own sin, would otherwise destroy us. By nature, you and I would be just like the 9. The fact that 9 out of 10 went away without a word of thanks should fill our hearts with a godly fear, lest we would turn away from the Holy Trinity in such ingratitude. For we hear the Lord declare in the words of Jeremiah chapter 17, those who depart from me shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. God forbid that we, having been drawn to the Lord, would ever so depart. But lest we would perish in fear and doubt, we remember the mercy which the Lord Jesus showed toward all who called upon him for aid. We hear the words of Jeremiah chapter 17, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And we, believing in Christ Jesus, as the one who paid for our sins through his suffering and death for us, so pray to the Lord. In the book of Leviticus, God's word stipulated that the priest would go outside the camp to examine the leper who had been cleansed of his leprosy. But our high priest has come to us to bear our sin and shame, to die upon the cross bearing our sin in his own body. Like a spiritual leprosy, sin slowly eats away at the sinner until he perishes forever. But Christ Jesus carried sin for us, so that his spotlessness would be credited to all who repent, believing in him. The Lord cleanses us from sin, a gift of God for which we give thanks. He has cleansed us in the waters of holy baptism, where we were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, making us adopted children of God. Through holy baptism, we have been made partakers of the death and resurrection of Christ. The forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life are ours now, for all who believe in Jesus. As we struggle day by day against sin, our own flesh, and the wiles of the devil, you and I know we have much to confess. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But the Spirit of God leads us, for we hear the Word of God, and are comforted in our struggle against the sin that still clings to us, comforted that Christ Jesus has already won the victory through his death and resurrection for us. Thus we pray the Lord of the Church to ever lead us to all things profitable to our salvation, as we will pray in the words of today's collect. For we are ever in need of such good gifts of God. The Triune God gives you his good gifts through his word and sacrament. The precious body and blood of Christ Jesus are given in the Holy Sacrament for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We come to the Lord's Supper, then, trusting in the forgiveness of sins won by Christ Jesus our Lord, sorrowing, yes, over our sin, but trusting in him who redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Restored to life by Christ, cleansed from sin by his work, we live to glorify him. What joy we behold in Jesus, that one returns to give thanks. And as he assures the one who was healed, saying, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well," so he assures us that we have been saved by grace through faith, and the payment for sins which Christ accomplished upon the cross is God's free gift to us, to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who will come again in glory, gathering his church to be with him forever. Amen. Let us pray. Keep, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy church with thy perpetual mercy, and because the frailty of man without thee cannot but fall, keep us ever by thy help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. We also have a midweek Bible class on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., lasting until noon, followed by a lunch. At present, we are studying the Book of Psalms, and we invite you to come and join us for our study. Salem is located approximately 2 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church or this broadcast, you may call the congregation at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support of the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.